Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Dirt and Sprague on Football Friday on 1080 The Fan.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Tap by Coors Light. Duck fans, as you power up for game day, grab some frost-brewed Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Please drink responsibly.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome in. Hour number two here on 1080 The Fan. A lot to get to here in the second hour. But your Portland Timbers taking on Atlanta tomorrow in Atlanta, 5 o'clock. You can catch the game on Fox 12. And we're talking with the sportscaster here in the city of Portland, Nick Go Cougs Krupke, who's joining us live from Atlanta now. How you doing, man?
You know, if you put that Go Cougs moniker on me, I don't think you want me to root for the Timbers if they'll go on the wrong side of things if you have my luck.
Well, they can't Coug it anymore, man. They had... the Timbers, they can't Coug it. They've had quite a run here in the postseason. Again, I don't follow a lot of soccer here, Krupke, but man, the way that they're playing right now, I'm kind of one of those guys. I like to sports bet, and I'm thinking about laying a couple bucks on the Timbers because they're such a big underdog.
Do they have a line on something like that tomorrow already?
Yeah, what is it, Swag?
It's they're currently it's 26-5. The money line
but
is
whatever the case may be.
520 plus 520.
Everybody around here, they already get the parade rocking for Monday. They're planning on that. I mean, Atlanta's really been a juggernaut, you know, since coming into the league last year. They're playing in the biggest stadium in the league. It's great for MLS. They're gonna have tomorrow. They're gonna break an attendance record with maybe 75,000 people in there.
Right.
But this is equally huge for Portland as well, man. As you know, I mean, you got me on your show talking about soccer, which I know you guys have a lot of soccer talk on there. Swag would like more of that, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Dirt was so displeased with it, he had to call in sick today. I don't know if you can tell, but I'm sick too, but I'm pushing through.
Yeah.
What's the deal, Dirt?
Well, no, well, Dirt's soft. I think we've identified
he
this.
He is, that we know. His new name is Softy Dirt.
Right.
But no, man, I mean, the way they've turned it on here, I mean, nobody had them winning that knockout round game in Dallas, right? Nobody had them beating the hot team in Seattle, the hottest team that closed the season
right in
the league. And then to go play Kansas City, who had the best record in the West, nobody picked them either, man. And nobody's picking them now except for themselves. And maybe Brandon Sprague is going to throw some buck down on the line for the game tomorrow because, you know, it feels very similar to 2015 when they just keep winning. You think they're not going to, and they just keep winning, and then they'll be the ones at the end hoisting the cup.
Yeah, we're talking with Nick Krupke of Fox 12. You can catch the Timber match tomorrow at 5 o'clock in Atlanta as Portland's looking to get their second title. Well, I was going to ask you about that. How is this team different in your eyes versus that 2015 team that won it all?
Well, obviously, you're looking at a different head coach, too, but a lot of the same core guys are there. Certainly, Nagby's on the other side of things now. But Adi's gone. You know, I mean, it just the way that they've worked it. I mean, Blanco certainly found his stride here in MLS. And between him and Valeri, I guess we can see who Valeri can break his own record and score a goal maybe like 4 seconds into the match. That'd be something special. But just the way that they play and the bond these guys have together, there doesn't seem to be any internal strife. And they're, you know, fighting for time. We haven't seen Samuel Armenteros in quite some time, which is kind of a bummer because that's really the reason why they were able to sell off Fernando, because he had a big striker in number 99. And he just hasn't been able to get out there and get healthy again and be quite right. We'll see what tomorrow brings with that. Might be a secret weapon off the bench. We'll see.
Yeah.
But, you know, for these guys to be together, and they're in this spot, they have no pressure on them right now. Atlanta's here. They're playing for Arthur Blank, of course, in this $1.6 billion stadium that's going to host Super Bowl 53 here in a couple of months. They've got the pressure on them. They're supposed to dominate tomorrow, which they may very well do that. I don't think so. We're going to have a great match. It's going to be quite the thing to see. 5 o'clock on Fox National, 4:30 pregame show, and then we'll be live also on Fox 12 post-game, hopefully with a victory celebration.
Do you get nervous when you do these kind of games, when you do like pre or post stuff?
Nah, this is what you want. This is what you want to do, right?
Yeah, I would assume.
Well, we do it.
I just assume there's way more eyeballs, right? Like even more than normal.
But don't tell me that, and then I will get nervous.
No, you're a cougar. Nothing can shake you.
Talking to the camera. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. We'll say the beers until afterward.
Are you expecting a big Portland contingent? I've seen things about the tickets and how many they were allotted, but I know that's a 70,000 seat stadium, and I know Atlanta because I got a friend who works down there. They have just embraced the soccer. They are a huge soccer city right now. Are you expecting a decent Timber contingent to sneak in there with the second market tickets?
You know, they got the 1,300 seat allotment for the traveling army. They're going to be tucked way up high on the fourth, third deck, wherever it is in there. They'll be loud. They'll be proud. But this is going to be a very obvious home game. I mean, that's what Atlanta earned it. They had the best record at the end out of the two teams. This is going to be a home game for them. It's going to certainly be a hostile environment. But the Timbers have played here before. They played here earlier this season. Millmore ratcheted up, of course, for a cup final. But maybe towards the end, they'll be drowning them out. But it isn't like NFL. If you look at, like, name your team that travels well, Packers, Cowboys, Seahawks fans, it's not going to be like that. And based on that, really the problem is that ticket allotment. But, you know, for those fans that really want to make that trek and pay that big-time buck on the secondary market, then maybe so. But there's going to certainly be a lot of red and black in the stands.
So, and we're talking to Nick Krupke of Fox 12. He's getting ready. The Timbers play Atlanta tomorrow for the MLS Cup in Atlanta, 5 o'clock here on Fox 12 locally. I am going to ask you one really dumb question here because I have no problem having Soccer Guy be mad that I asked this question. Why is Atlanta so much better than Portland? Again, I know this is a stupid question, but like, what makes them so much better?
They've got a virtuoso attack, man. I mean, they really push. I've obviously got the new MVP of the league in Yosef, who's very familiar with Diego Valeri. He won the MVP last year. Their back end defense is very good, and they're just built right. You know, Arthur Blank wanted, you know, people wanted Arthur Blank to get an MLS maybe a decade ago. He didn't. He waited, and they got the expansion in 2014. Last year's the first year they play, and they built it right, man. I mean, they've got the right personnel and people to get this right, and you have to play right when you're going to play in this immaculate stadium. It's not just like it's not a two-bit city. I mean, Atlanta is one of the biggest growing cities around, man, and they're the new beast in the East. Of course, the two New York teams as well. We've seen what Toronto has done in the past couple of years going to the Cup as well. They're just built right. And you know, like any, look at like NHL, look at what Vegas said, look what maybe they're going to do in Seattle. Back when we were growing up, man, when expansion teams were behind the eight ball for a decade, right? You didn't have the advantages in draft picks and just getting the right movement. Pro leagues don't want these new teams to come in and just be garbage cans for a long time. They want them to be successful right away to really kind of get some teeth into the marketplace. So they've been set up properly by the league and the right people that know how to do it. And Arthur Blank obviously has that money, the Home Depot money, that's been able to put it all together and seemingly right. But we'll see. I mean, they don't have what the Timbers do have, which is a cup, which would be the Timbers' second in 4 years, which that's pretty dang awesome, man, for their sixth year in the league.
Now, I asked you about speculation here, and this is going a little bit away from the game. Merritt Paulson looking for his second championship as the owner of this team in three, 4 years now, and that'd be incredible. Mm-hmm. What have you made of the rumblings? Because people like to attach his name as a guy maybe looking to put a group together to purchase the Trailblazers. Does winning another title maybe make him a little more hungry to go get another team and try to get more championships? How do you feel about that rumor with Merritt Paulson and the Blazers?
I'll tell you what, tomorrow when they win and he's going through euphoria, I'm going to bring that up to him tomorrow. I think it'd be fantastic, man. I mean, obviously the Blazers are going to be sold. What are they going to sell for? Over $1 billion? And that the Clippers, when Ballmer bought the Clippers a few years ago. So, I mean, inflation, I think does Merritt have $1 billion? I don't think so. Does Dak? Yeah. Can he get a group guy? Yeah, maybe. I'd be all aboard that, man. Certainly you want local ownership. You don't want somebody out of town bringing them, buying them, and then going like, oh, yeah, Seattle, maybe. You don't want that. Come on, goodness sakes. So if you're rooting for somebody to pick up the Blazers, because they are going to be for sale here in the next year, even less than that, I think it's a lot of teeth to that. You know, I mean, he's not really going to want to address it until after this is done. But, hey, yeah. Winning kind of cures all, and winning kind of makes you want to win more. Mm-hmm. And nothing makes you want to win more than invest more money in some other kind of sports, too.
Well, in sports radio, Krupke, we have to get predictions so we can look stupid or try to look smart. And I need to know, are the Timbers going to continue in their upsetting ways? Are they going to beat Atlanta, in your opinion, tomorrow?
I feel like they're going to. I do, man. I'm telling you, it's got that feeling like 2015 when nobody thought it was going to happen. And, you know, it's not a two-leg situation. This is one and done. Who's going to play the best on that day? And like you saw in Columbus a few years ago, like, boom, right off the bat, Valeri scores 6 seconds in, man, and then you're off. If they can get out to an early lead and have Atlanta chasing goals, that's certainly going to be a big-time advantage. And to maybe pipe down that crowd, if they can get a two-goal lead, then it might be a good night now. But I think so. I mean, I think it wouldn't be out of the realm to see this one go to PKs in a shootout as we have in the past with Seattle and Toronto as well. You know, I don't want to say they're evenly matched teams, but it just seems like this might be one of those crazy years where maybe we get into kind of double post moment where the Timbers are going to go on. Remember that one ball that just didn't go in? Might be that way, but I think we're going to be talking about a victory tomorrow night.
All right, there we go. Ole Ole with Nick Krupke, Fox 12. He's in Atlanta getting ready for the Timbers taking on Atlanta. And it's 5 o'clock here on Fox 12. Give Nick Krupke a follow on Twitter. Thanks so much for the time, dude. Enjoy it. And we're all of us are going to be watching your face on TV, okay? So be ready for that.
All right, Sprager. Hey, we're going to see you at the parade on Monday.
Probably not, but I'll be there emotionally. I'll be there emotionally.
Like you're quacked out there.
All right, there we go. Nick Krupke, Fox 12, kind enough to join us live from Atlanta as they're getting ready to take on. Is the Atlanta... I feel stupid not knowing this, but I kind of need to know. Is Atlanta United? That's what it is, right?
Yes, Atlanta United.
I was going to say Atlanta FC, but I was glad I went United that one.
Atlanta United.
Quickly, your opinion, do they win?
It'll be a tough test. The fact that they played them to a one-all draw down there before. Now, that was back in the summer. The lineup's a little different, but I give them a good shot. Mm. They've got to weather that first 15 or 20 minutes. Atlanta will throw everybody forward. They play fast.
Yeah.
They want to get up and down the field. They won't sit back and wait and wait and wait and counter.
Right. Hey, I'm pulling for them. I can't wait. I think it's going to be good. And we'll see if they get a second championship. And, you know, not that you're going to take away Blazer fan, but another title for another team.
Hey, that's two titles in 4 years. They're getting ready to dig into the expansion. I mean, if you've been by, you can see the infrastructure's there.
You have to walk under scaffolding when you were going to games.
And there's talk. And the tough part next season is they may have to play their first 10 to 12 games on the road.
Oh, because of that.
Because of the construction. So they might not have home games until like June next season.
Yeah. All right, well, good luck to the Timbers. Let's move on and go to college football. I got some college football tidbits. I want to get to that next. And then Lance Armstrong in the news for all the wrong reasons. Both those things next here on 1080 The Fan. 120 on The Fan. Welcome back in. You can reach us at the Better You Today text line at 55305. Lance Armstrong's back in the news. And not for great reasons. I'll tell you why here in 10 minutes.
Promoting? Did he seek out the media, or was somebody just looking for some sort of feature story?
I can't.
Who do you think sought out who in this matter?
I think he did. He has a podcast. I think it actually does pretty well that he's been doing for over 2 years, I want to say.
Mm.
And so maybe he's promoting something else, but he did a little bit of a media tour, and some of the comments he made yesterday are kind of making the rounds because he talks about another pro athlete. So we'll bring that to you. I do want to dive into the NFL wildcard playoff scenarios and just clinching scenarios as well. As week 14 is going to be pretty good. I'm excited about a lot of the matchups. And then Tony Marino is the sideline reporter for Army, and he's going to join us live from Philly at 2 o'clock. Talk about the Army-Navy game, which is, you know, a lot of people, that's their favorite game, and I can't blame them. I think there's so much awesome, you know, pregame festivities that go on, rituals, and then obviously the game itself, and then the end. I mean, I don't know how you don't watch the end, and you almost get a tear in your eye watching those guys. So we'll talk with Tony Marino at 2 o'clock. We'll spread the line at 2:30. But I want to talk about a couple college football tidbits here. Good news for Oregon fan. It doesn't appear Kansas State is going to be hiring Jim Leavitt. Seth Luttrell is the head coach at North Texas. He has backed out of it.
Yeah, he's going to stay put there with the Mean Green.
Well, if you don't know why he backed out, he was actually their favorite. They wanted to hire him. He would not sign his contract unless they agreed to allow him to bring his entire staff with him. And for some reason, Kansas State thinks they don't need to let their new head coach do that. So they said, no, you can't. He said, well, then I'm out.
Is Bill Snyder's son still on the staff?
I don't know if that's part of it. I think right now he is, yes, until a new coach is hired.
I thought Bill had something in his deal.
He was trying to make his kid the coach, and they were like, we don't want him to be the coach.
That sounds like what it is to me.
And it got kind of ugly, and Bill walked away this year. So Kansas State, remember Jim Leavitt's contract. He's one of the highest paid assistants in college football.
Yeah, $1.7 million, I believe.
Yeah, I believe that makes him top six in the country as an assistant. He had his only out clause where there's no buyout is Kansas State. It's his alma mater. And a lot of people kind of connected the dots there because Bill Snyder's old. And they said, hey, when Snyder's out, it's probably going to be Jim Leavitt. Well, a couple years have passed now, and it's not going to be Jim Leavitt. So, you know, that could be good news for Duck fan. I know the Oregon defense maybe didn't play to the level you thought it would, but Jim Leavitt appears like he's not going to be heading to Manhattan, Kansas. I mentioned Kyler Murray earlier when we talked about Tua and the Heisman race. A lot of people are speculating now, could he go the route of changing his mind and wanting to play pro football? Because he's eligible for the draft if he wants to go. He's played three seasons. He is maintained. He's committed to baseball and with Oakland. But because of the season he had, because of what he is as an athlete, a lot of people wonder, is he maybe making the wrong choice? Should he go pro football? How do you feel about Kyler Murray going to the NFL?
I think it's one thing for a running back, a wide receiver, a cornerback to be able to do it, but I don't know what NFL team is going to, with what you have to invest in a starting quarterback, if you have to share him.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the Athletics have already ponied up $4+ million. So we'll have to see how it would affect if he decides he wants to, you know, what's going to be number one. What, you know, obviously there's overlap in September and, you know, possibly October if you want to, you know, play both. So what takes precedence? There's a lot to work out. But for a quarterback, and especially a young quarterback, if you want to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, you better be there at every mini camp, every training set. You have to be in the building, and everybody around you has to know you're fully invested. I think that's a different ask than what Bo Jackson or Deion Sanders or was Brian Jordan who did it with the Braves.
Yeah, Jordan, yeah.
And I think he was a defensive back,
mm-hmm.
safety or something. So that's a different ask.
Yeah.
Your response.
Especially at quarterback.
Especially if you want to be a starting quarterback.
What if he does the Russell thing where he like does this, let me play spring ball or summer ball.
Now,
let me do
if baseball is the hobby, if football is his number one, then baseball is the hobby. And he, you know, is a, you know, part-time player. They get but I don't know how the A's would feel because, okay, you have him all summer and then we get to training camp in August and he's got to go. How is that a worthwhile investment for a baseball team?
Well, I think too, with him, until he can prove otherwise, you're just not sure if you could trust him to be able to know what his emotions and feelings are going to be about those sports, right? Like, he's clearly committed to baseball. They're paying him $9 million this year or $6 million? I think he's making more than his head coach.
I thought the signing bonus and everything was like $4.7 million or
so
something
he's like
that.
Right there salary-wise with Lincoln Riley. But if he goes to football, I don't know if I feel confident, even if he's like, you know, I'm committed to football. I don't know how much I'm trusting that because clearly he loves baseball. He's absolutely a big prospect for them.
Well, and
they've already paid him.
Well, that, and as a quarterback too, your potential, you're a sitting duck back there. If he does go and if he gets highly, you're going to a crappy team probably at first. And if they want to throw you out there and play it right away, the baseball team's now risking you getting crushed. You know, what if an Alex Smith injury happens?
I know.
So I think it's fine for him to say, hey, what about both? And I don't know how realistic it is.
The other story I wanted to get to was Turner Gill had retired from football coaching at Liberty. Did you see who Liberty hired?
Yeah, I saw that. This is hilarious. I tweeted out the quote earlier
at
1080 The Fan.
Yes,
this is maybe the quote of the year.
That Hugh Freeze, who was fired from Ole Miss for, one, the program just running rampant. They cheated. They got all these recruits. And then also he got caught using a company phone calling an escort service. And he was hired by Liberty after being out of college football for 1 year, I believe it was. Yeah, about a year because he was fired last year. At his press conference, and Swag mentioned, he put this at the Fan. This was a real quote Hugh Freeze said at the press conference when asked about running a faith-based program in his belief in Jesus. Quote, "He's the only one I've ever met who can handle my junk," end quote.
I got the, actually, Kyle Bonagura tweeted out the larger quote. He said, quote, "Faith for me is believing in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He's the only one I've ever met that can handle my junk. If you know somebody else that can do that, I'd love to meet him, but I haven't met that yet."
Oh, didn't connect with the right person on that phone call, evidently. And by the way, anybody religious out there, this is not a shot at your religion. This is more just like a situation. This guy got caught calling hookers with a company phone, and he's out here saying things like that. Like, are we buying this? I don't even know if there's Liberty fans that are real, but are they going, "Hey, look at this God first guy, huh? He doesn't have any problems at all." We'll see how this goes. Hugh Freeze, I think he's a quality coach, but... bro, you can't have a press conference like this. What are you doing? This doesn't make any sense. So we'll see how that goes for Hugh Freeze over there at Liberty taking over for Turner Gill. And if he wins, I have no doubt some bigger program will give him another shot and say he's learned and he'll do the same thing. And we'll see. We'll see if his second chance this time will prove to be worth it. All right, we will go to Lance Armstrong, who's back in the news. And not saying something very positive about another pro athlete. I'll tell you what that is and bring it to you next. Hey, you remember Lance Armstrong? But he won 7 Tour de France's in a row. He was the king of the country, man. And then we found out he was cheating. And everything came crumbling down. He lied about it. He fought back against people. And then he basically disappeared. Well, he started a podcast a couple years ago. And I think it actually does pretty well. And it felt like maybe he had started to build his way back into everybody's open arms of forgiveness and moving on and trying to change things for his life. He did. He was part of that. Andy Samberg did a mockumentary on HBO about biking.
It was hilarious.
Really good. And he was in it. He was the guy that was like, "We're not supposed to be cheating. Am I covered up?" And he wasn't. You could tell it was Lance.
And you're like, okay, maybe he... It might have still been too soon.
But he gets it.
He was mocking it. And I think for a lot of people, especially a lot of people, the sport will never forgive him because...
Well, we're also talking about the dirtiest sport in all of sport, right?
Well, and that's the thing. But he took it to such... a proportion and a level of systematic what he had set up.
Oh yeah, he had figured out how to get in on it. Yeah,
and
he capitalized.
And then he, went all, Brian Braun and
everybody else did
taking down anybody that dared to challenge him and all of those sorts of things.
Well, he did that, and I was kind of just thinking, okay, at some point he's probably going to be a little more mainstream and maybe he comes out and turns it around completely. But he then went on the Today Show, and he was doing an interview, and he brought up how people perceive him versus how people perceive an Alex Rodriguez. Take a listen.
A-Rod didn't raise $500 million. And try to save a bunch of people's lives. I mean, that's kind of the irony in this. Look, it's great when somebody hits home runs and maybe does an event here and there for the Girls and Boys Club. This story held a place in people's hearts and minds that was way beyond those guys.
He's still trying to justify his actions. And that's the part where people just won't ever forgive him.
Well... you're also dragging a name into the mud with you.
Yeah.
And that doesn't usually sit well or reflect well on you as an individual. You're going down for something that you clearly did, and then you randomly just say, well, this person does this and that. What is that? Why do you do? Why does that matter? Why do you need to even bring that up? Like, has A-Rod changed the narrative or feeling on him? I still think a lot of people don't like A-Rod. Sure, the play-by-play has helped. It's been more endearing to who he is, and I think people can appreciate how good he is at that job.
But you still have a lot of people that don't like A-Rod, think he's a slime ball.
It'll be
ball,
interesting to see once he's eligible to be voted on by the Hall of Fame voters, if they're how bitter that, because we know how crusty the Baseball Writers Association can be at times as a conglomerate.
I don't know if he'll ever get in, but like I just don't quite understand the point of it, right? Like if you're Lance Armstrong and you're promoting a book or something and you want to go out there and say, you know, so-and-so, but I raised a $500 million for cancer research. Dude, great. I mean, if anything, are we disappointed that he cheated and that he lied about it? Yeah, but that's always been the interesting thing with him is he also is a part of that movement, right? That Live Strong movement of bracelets and cancer research funding. Is all of it a lie? Well, the money's not a lie. The money's real. The money's there. The money helped.
Yeah, but I think there's still so many people who donated time and big money to that feel as if they were misled. And it's not to say, you know.
Yeah, this is the tough part with him is
the how matters in this case.
Right, but it's still, it's weird because he's not wrong that he was the face of something that he was lying about, but ended up doing so much good. But you lose me when bringing up A-Rod.
But you want to be celebrated for that? He's trying to bifurcate at this point. And it's like, you can't separate those two.
Mm-hmm.
The one never happens without the seven consecutive. I mean, if you won one or two, does anybody remember Greg LeMond, who was the first American to win? Do you even know that name?
I know the name. I don't remember anything
exactly
about him. No.
So he was the first American.
What was the guy after Lance? What was his name?
What was that?
Was it Neil something?
No. Was it? I can't remember.
He got in trouble too.
Yeah.
He was cheating. He won a couple in a row.
Well, and Armstrong was one to throw him under the bus.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I just, when you're making a comeback of sorts in this realm.
And that's why I was curious. What's he need to get into the public spotlight for? That's the part I don't understand.
Yeah. Well, and
what's
A-Rod,
he trying to do?
I'm sure somebody's going to ask. A-Rod just launched a business podcast, like a sports business podcast with Barstool. I'm sure that's going to get brought up of like, what did you think? I think A-Rod's going to continue this tour that he's on of trying to be the bigger man and taking the high road. I really do. I'll be surprised if A-Rod comes out and fires back versus says, you know, it's whatever. People can say whatever they want and just takes the high road.
There's nothing.
No, you don't need to dive into those waters. I mean, he's already clearly doing it and showing kind of his true colors. I think he showed his true colors in the moment, but if you're A-Rod, I mean, you're already winning people over that didn't like you. So if somebody brings this back up and says, what'd you make of Lance's comments? I kind of shrug my shoulders and you just chuckle and you move on. Like, whatever. What am I going to do about that?
Yeah.
But yeah, I saw that and I just thought, really? You needed to go there with A-Rod and how it's a team sport and how he was allowed to come back and hit.
Well, like, it's the same thing. It's only about a 5-minute interview. And so he was asked about if he could go back and do it all over again.
Floyd Landis, by the way.
There
Thank
we go.
You
Floyd
to the text
Landis.
Police. Floyd Landis.
You know, he was asked if he could go over and do it all over again. Would he do it differently? And he wouldn't cop to it. He'd say, well, I would want to change the entire sport so that nobody was doping. So he's still not taking full ownership of it.
And I thought he was at that point where he was.
He's not. He will never get past it. He won't. He can't do it. He's so competitive. He's so bitter.
Well, we know he's so competitive that he's willing to put stuff in his
body
to win.
And he can't admit, just stop at, I own that. You made the decision at the end of the day.
I guess I just don't see the big picture here is whatever your goal is as an individual like him, I guess I just don't see the benefits of dragging somebody down into a conversation ever. Like, I don't know why you think you benefit. Like, somebody saying A-Rod's a big piece of crap. What he's saying is true if you listen to the whole thing. Well, I'm sure it's true to the regard of, he cheated and he was allowed back in. Okay, I get that. And you cannot like A-Rod. I understand that as well. But why? What do you benefit from doing it? This isn't something, by the way, that you're going to get a lot of support on in terms of yeah, you were right to randomly bring up Alex Rodriguez and bash him. Even if A-Rod was brought up in the interview.
Which he wasn't, by the way.
Okay, exactly. You can still find a way around it without dragging him down with you.
Well, again, it's his whole issue of somehow trying to convince people he was justified in going the route that he did. That it wasn't just, you know, it's kind of the old thing of, you know, you get busted for a speeding ticket and you start pointing to all the, you know, 72 cars that were passing you. And why did the cop pick you out, so to speak? And it's like, were you speeding?
Well, right.
There you go.
Right. Yeah. So Lance Armstrong, he comes out and he does an interview with the Today Show and he has to drag A-Rod down with him. And talk about how A-Rod cheated, but A-Rod was allowed back in, and he was allowed to go get hits, and et cetera, et cetera. Just doesn't reflect well for Lance Armstrong and his comeback attempt. All right, we've got Tony Marino, the Army sideline reporter. He's going to join us live from Philly to talk about the Army-Navy game at 2 o'clock. But coming up next in crunch time, it's going to be a wild weekend in the NFL, and we could decide a lot this weekend for the playoff picture. Crunch time next on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Crunch time brought to you by Crunch Fitness, as low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. I could not make it to the glorious House of Gains this morning.
I ain't having that. You got me? I ain't having that.
I know, Mario. I know. I don't know if I'll be able to make it in today. Go for a nice clean run.
No days off. No days off.
Shut up, swag. When's the last time you worked out on a regular basis? You jerk. Hitting these drops with Bill Belichick. Crunch time today in the NFL for a really exciting NFL weekend. I counted during the break of how many games I think have playoff implications in terms of, man, if this team loses or these teams lose, where could they be? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, 8. 8 games in the NFL, I think, impact the playoff picture here. And now just bear with me here. Minnesota, Seattle.
Oh, obviously.
Monday night, yep. Rams, Bears.
No question.
You've got Eagles, Cowboys.
Yep.
Colts, Texans. I know it's not it might not be exciting.
Yeah,
there's a playoff.
AFC South, the Texans can pretty much wrap it up with a victory there.
And it might eliminate the Colts. I mean, the Colts, it might be tough for them to dig out of that hole. Saints, Bucks, because if the Saints lose again, and a lot of people are liking the Bucks to cover, but if the Saints drop again and the Bears are able to win, they'll be one game below them. Ravens, Chiefs, and then Panthers, Browns. Which some of those games you might not be excited for, but they have
playoff implications. If the Panthers lose, then they're pretty much done.
Oh, I think they're out of it if they lose. I mean, how do you come back from that in the NFC? Especially, what would that be? That'd be
3 in a row? 4 in a row?
4 in a row.
4 of the last 5, something like that.
I think four games in a row. So you've got some really good matchups. Obviously, I think we're really excited here for Seattle, Minnesota. I'm not a Seahawks fan, by the way. I just mean here in the presumptive. A lot of Seahawks fans listening, Northwest. We've got Seahawks here on The Fan.
No, I think a Seahawks victory locks up a playoff spot.
I do too.
They have 2 victories with the 49ers and Cardinals. I don't see, barring Russell Wilson, you know, catastrophic injury.
Right.
I don't know how they lose those 2 games.
And then the other 2 games I think I'm most excited about, Ravens Chiefs could be interesting, but it's Cowboys Eagles because of the division factor there. And I'm rewatching the game, by the way, that they played in Philly a few weeks ago when the Dallas Cowboys started this whole winning streak. They were 3-5. And it's funny watching it because I know Dallas won that game. Philly was right there with them. They had some chances to tie this ball game, and Dallas's defense came up with big plays. And a lot of people are kind of just assuming Cowboys are going to win this one, but these 2 teams hate each other. It was close. We'll see if Philly can fight for their playoff lives. And the second game I would say I'm excited for is Rams-Bears, the Sunday night football game in Chicago.
Trubisky is off the injured list,
so he is expected
to start.
And the Rams, if you watched last week, and struggle with the Lions till the very end. Chicago at home is a much better team than they are on the road. Defensively, we played Sean McVay, how excited he is to go against all those players, how much he respects them. And this is kind of a prove-it game, I think, for the Bears. You know, I heard Colin this morning on my way in about McVay and young coaches and how they haven't proven anything. And I see where he's coming from there. But Chicago is one of those, they're winning their division. Green Bay's not very good. Minnesota's inconsistent. But are we going to buy them come postseason time? Now, maybe you do because they host a playoff game. But this is a moment for them, for a team that's looking to show you, hey, we can pull an upset off in the postseason. This is the best possible chance you could ask for. You bring in the high-powered Rams. You bring in that kind of shaky defense, but I believe they're getting Aqib Talib back. And it's a chance for Mitchell Trubisky, who hasn't played in a couple weeks, to go out there, you know, coming off that injury, be rested, and a game plan against that defense that we know you can move the ball and score on. So I'm looking forward to that game a lot.
Weather in the 20s, but clearer. No precipitation in the forecast for Chicago.
So just you're going to see a lot of breath on the field.
Don't know about the wind, however. Wind, I mean, there's always issue with wind there, especially at night. But it's going to be below, at or below freezing at kickoff.
So here's what you got from some for some scenarios here in the NFL playoff picture for the weekend. Los Angeles, if they can beat Chicago, they clinch a first-round bye. So if they win, they get a bye. New Orleans clinches the NFC South title with a win or tie, or if Carolina loses to Cleveland. Let's see. Kansas City clinches a playoff berth with a win or tie. Miami loss or tie. Indy loss or tie. Tennessee loss or tie. But obviously Tennessee won yesterday. New England, they clinch the AFC East for the 10th straight year with a win. Houston clinches the South with a win. They needed Tennessee to lose, so that didn't happen. And then the Chargers, they clinch a playoff berth. This one's wild. With a win, Miami loss or tie, Denver loss or tie, an Indy loss or tie, and they needed Tennessee to lose.
So they cannot clinch because Tennessee won.
Yeah, Tennessee's involved in these with losses. So a few of these scenarios won't happen because Tennessee won big last night against Jacksonville. But you've got some other teams out here like the Rams and like the Saints that can take advantage. And New England, of course, who are just, they've dominated that division. It's almost embarrassing how much better they've been in that division for this long. But I think you get enough credit to Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. This is with college football now outside of the Army-Navy game, which we'll talk with Tony Marino about here in 7 minutes at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. You know, outside of that, we have a little bit of an off time, and some people don't even care about a lot of these bowl games. So
yeah,
this is the fun time of the NFL where maybe you love college more than the National Football League, and that's normal. I get that, especially in this region. But now you're getting that cold weather. You're getting some of these teams now, like Kansas City. What if Baltimore can come out there and hold Kansas City to sub 30 points? Do you start to change your opinion on Kansas City? Remember the Chiefs, although I think they're better. This was around the period that the Chiefs were kind of struggling, and then they found their way again, but they lost in that first-round matchup against Mariota and the Titans last year in that wild-card weekend. So this is kind of that crucial, fun, exciting playoff atmosphere-like football that we get every year.
Yeah, and the question for the Chiefs is, you know, the loss of Kareem Hunt. They went and dug up Charcandrick West out of there to come and back up at the running back spot. So can Mahomes shoulder the load, you know, himself? We'll find out if everything that had happened up until now was just more a function of so many playmakers on the field.
Give me the two teams that are kind of in the driver's seat right now that you trust the least in the playoffs.
That I trust the least.
I'm talking about like the real dominant good teams. How many are there? You got the Rams, you got the Saints, you got the Chiefs, you got the Pats, and you've got the, who am I forgetting?
Well, I think the Steelers.
You'd put the Steelers in there?
Yeah.
Am I missing anybody else?
No, I think everybody else
driving,
is kind of in dogfights.
It's a question mark, right? So
yeah.
Which of those five teams would you say, which two would you trust the least?
Probably the Steelers.
Okay. Why?
I think they are most susceptible to laying an egg at any particular given time for no reason. You know, and now Connor's hurt. He's out.
Yeah, we'll see what they can do in Oakland.
You're relying on some retreads and a rookie. So if they can load up, you know, if they don't have to respect the run that the way they had to with Connor, they can load up and just go after Roethlisberger and start dinging him around.
Right.
We know he has the potential to throw interceptions, and he doesn't care about throwing interceptions. So he'll still sling it. So, yeah, you have the potential to let teams hang around that shouldn't be hanging around.
And then the second team would be who?
I'm going to say the Patriots, because I think the AFC East is just so damn soft that when they have to go and get into it with somebody.
Just the Belichick doesn't leave you nervous? The Belichick-Brady factor betting against it yet again?
No, I mean, they'll be as prepared as anybody. I just don't know. You know, Gronk's health is always questionable. So I think there's far less margin for error with that group of Patriots than there has been in the past.
Yeah. Yeah, mine would probably be, and we got to wrap this up for the NFL weekend. There's still a part of me that kind of questions, I know this seems weird because I think they can win this weekend. I think I would say the Chiefs and the Rams. I am kind of I like to see a prove it thing. Like New England, I've told you guys, I don't think New England's going to win the AFC this year. But like the Rams got dominated last year in that round and in that matchup they had against the Falcons. And then the Chiefs, I mean, I love Mahomes. I do. But Kansas City had a very disappointing end of their season. I know Mahomes might be better than Smith in a lot of people's eyes already, but I kind of need to see it in the postseason. I think this weekend could do a lot for some of these teams that you maybe question. I mean, if Mahomes goes out there and lights up the number one defense in the NFL in Baltimore, I think we're going to feel probably a little more confident in their ability to maybe get to an AFC title game. So going to be a fun weekend in the National Football League, no doubt. All right, we got a lot to get to in the final hour. You can text, by the way, your Sprague and the Line sponsors at 55305. We'll get to that at 2:30 with Kevin Todd. But coming up next, Tony Marino. I hope I'm saying his last name right. He is a sideline reporter for Army, and we're going to talk about the Army-Navy game with him next. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague, back with more on The Fan.